Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. On a Monday afternoon, we begin a new week here on the show. Matt Catrillo here with you, filling in for Sean Carey for a couple of times this week. Steve Jones coming up soon from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Make sure you check out our friends at Purdy Insurance for all of your insurance needs. Auto, flood, home, they got it. Our friends Purdy Insurance bring you today's show. Don't forget you can follow the show on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU or at Steve Jones Show on Facebook. Give us a like for all the latest Penn State news, notes, sports updates, and show podcasts. We're also at SteveJonesShow.com for those same things, especially the show podcast. You can also catch the show on iTunes and Google Play as well. So make sure you check us out on all those angles there. Lots from this past weekend to recap, and we certainly got the trifecta of sports that you'll definitely see. Thursday night, we crowned a new Stanley Cup champion in the Washington Capitals, winning their first Stanley Cup. Then Friday night, we crowned a NBA champion in the Golden State Warriors, winning back-to-back in 3 out of 4, claiming their dynasty. And then on Saturday, we get to justify becoming the second Triple Crown winner in 4 years after that 37-year drought for since American Pharoah in 2015. So it was quite a good weekend for sports as far as seeing all those champs crowned. You go to the Capitals first. A, at least for me, I don't think a lot of people thought this would be a 5-game series. Maybe some did, but I certainly didn't. And let alone that they would win that on the road. I thought Vegas would be good enough to win one more game and force a game 6. But at the same time, the Capitals were the best road team in the NHL playoffs and the Stanley Cup playoffs all season long. So I guess it's only fitting that they won that on the road, and just the euphoria you've seen from the team, the coaches, the fans. It's really cool to see whether you love or hate the Capitals. I know we have more hate in this area with all the Flyers and Penguins fans we have here in this area, but you certainly can't deny the euphoria that you've seen has been really, really cool to watch. And what's also been cool about the Capitals winning this is all the young guys that contributed to it were stars in the Hershey Bears really not too long ago, really a season removed from that. Jake Varana especially was a big part of the Capitals' Stanley Cup run and scored in the game-clinching game in Game 5. Kristen Juice, Chandler Stephenson, all those guys played a big part in what the Capitals did this season. So kind of cool to see that you have somewhat of a semi-local connection as they were starting with the Stanley Cup, with the Calder Cup Bears and the Hershey Bears not too long ago. And then you go to the NBA Finals and the Golden State Warriors. Well, of course, I think we all figured that they were going to take that series pretty handedly as they sweep the Cleveland Cavaliers. And of course, Steve, justify capping it off with just an unbelievable run. That's probably the most dominant performance I've ever seen. That wasn't even a contest for that race and justify.
Perfect break. In fact, I texted Dick afterward. I said, absolutely perfect trip. And it was. That was a perfect trip by Justify. There was something about from one of the other owners about the stablemate blocking and whatever. Didn't hurt Gronkowski, who ran last for a long period of time and then surged to second.
Yet another second-place finish for Gronkowski.
Yeah, except he seemed happy about this one.
That's true, he did.
He seemed happy about being second this time. But it didn't stop Gronk. But my point is, right, your horse was fading, dog. Okay, bad. Okay.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with Justify winning. Your horse was fading. Okay? Like all the others, except for Gronkowski. Gronkowski did not fade. And finished second. But it's outstanding performance. 228's a good time. Now, Secretary ran 224. Nobody's ever going to touch that. I mean, you know, you'd have to be tested for PEDs to run better than 224. So 228 is a really good time over the mile and a half.
And I thought what was more impressive for Justify, Steve, was the fact that Mike Jones, his jockey, which I think put himself into the Horse Racing Hall of Fame if he hadn't been there already,
he didn't let up at all.
They were full throttle the entire way around the mile and a half track, which is really, really difficult and bold to do for any horse.
Well, and that's, what did Dick talk about? And Dick and I talk about this all the time. Jack Hamm and I talk about this all the time in team sports. Get to the lead. Life in the lead is so much better than expending energy trying to catch someone. Well, what Bob Baffert and Mike Smith, and I don't think Bob Baffert had to tell Mike Smith a lot. I think he had to, with American Pharoah, after watching Victor Espinosa kind of botch it with California Chrome, and he did botch it. I think he had to tell him to put American Pharoah to the lead. I think he, Mike Smith, I don't think he had to tell him. He said, look, we're on the inside, just go. And they went. And he got to the lead right away, easy, never touched, took off, and that, you know, and he had really a perfect trip. 2 minutes, 28 seconds, I mean, 228.3 or something like that. So he runs 228. Really good Belmont time. Really good Belmont time. And he's a Triple Crown winner. And he's a Triple Crown winner, by the way, coming out of the Kentucky Derby, where the Kentucky Derby was considered to be a very good deep field. And that's what makes part of what Justify and what he's done, and what Bob Baffert's done, and what Mike Smith's done, even more impressive. And Baffert knew he had something. Even though Justify had not run as a two-year-old, the first week of February, Dick was telling Jeff Tarman and me, hey, look, I got this horse. He said, I got the horse for the Derby. It's Justify. This is back the first week of February. Remember, Justify had not run as a two-year-old. And Justify hadn't run a race yet. Hadn't run a race. And Dick got him for 40-1 to win the Derby. You know, and Baffert's number was higher than that. He knew what he had. But give him credit, Baffert, because he has now shown twice in the last 4 years, the last four cycles, because obviously 2015 was 3 years ago, but four cycles, the incredible ability to take a great horse, which he's had, and conduct a training regiment leading up to the Derby, and then how he handled the horse, Derby to Preakness, Preakness to Belmont, that allowed the horse to run its best race just about every time. Now, that's a guy as a trainer that knows exactly what he's doing, because no horse ends up running three times in 5 weeks. This is not how it's done today, except the horse that wins the Triple Crown. And he did. Brilliant trainer, great rider. I mean, there have been so many riders over the years that have misjudged the stretch run at the Belmont. And the reason they misjudge the stretch run is the stretch is so darn long. It's long. And so you can make your move too soon, and your horse has nothing in the final 150 yards. And then you got a guy like Mike Smith who understands the pace he needs. He felt that Justify was too quick in the opening quarter. So he just eased him just a little bit. Because obviously the mile and a half for a horse is a marathon. Actually, somebody said to me, boy, if that race goes another another 200 yards, Gronkowski may catch him. I said, how far do you want the horse to run? I mean, a mile and a half. Nobody runs a mile and a half. I mean, how much further do you want the race to go? Now, you can say that after the Derby of the Preakness, knowing that you've got the mile and a half Belmont coming up. So there is going to be a race that long. But when it's a mile and a half, it doesn't matter if it goes another 200 yards, okay? A mile and a half is a long way. It doesn't matter whether you're going to catch them or not. Nobody runs that far. Nobody does. So that was a great win. We have a little fun on the show today. Jeremy Wu from SI.com is going to join us today to talk about the NBA draft, which is a week from Thursday. The Athletic mock draft has Tony Carr at 39. Jeremy Wu has him listed at 51. And 51's fine. If I had to pick, and I may be wrong here, if I had to pick two teams that would probably have great interest in Tony Carr, one would be, believe it or not, the Philadelphia 76ers. T.J. McConnell will be with the Sixers for the upcoming season, but T.J. McConnell is a free agent after this season. He's a free agent after this season. I mean, after the 18-19 season. So you're going to need somebody in that spot. And I tell you, the other team that I would take a long, hard look at for Tony Carr that has shown interest from him from the outset has been the Detroit Pistons. Now, we'll see how it plays out. But those are the two I'm getting a feeling when it comes to the draft seem to have an interesting eye on him. The U.S. Open Golf Championship is this week. Former Nittany Lion Cole Miller qualified for the U.S. Open. So we're going to have Cole Miller on the show. And not only that, Cole is going to be joining us from Shinnecock Hills. Cole is going to be joining us from the practice chipping and putting green at Shinnecock Hills. He just competed in a McKenzie Tour in Canada, did well. He finished in the top 25. So we'll talk with Cole Miller later in the show today. Later in the week, by the way, on Wednesday, Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management Beyond, will talk about the business of sports with the World Cup starting in Russia. We're going to get into that a little bit with him, about the business of sports, also about what state-sponsored gambling and sportsbook can do for the value of franchises and what it does for corporate partners along the way. I want to get into it with him about that. It is the segment, Matt, that the suit hates.
And why so?
Because, and by the way, and this is completely justifiable, but the suit has an image of what sports is. Sports is an escape where, you know, you go, you root for your favorite team, your favorite player stays with your favorite team his entire career, he doesn't opt for free agency, and so forth. All right? And that is a 1960s, 1970s version of what sports happens to be. Mickey Mantle never changed teams, right?
That's true.
Roberto Clemente never changed teams.
Nope.
Now, until the end, Johnny Unitas played his last year with the Chargers. But Johnny Unitas played his almost entire career with the Colts. Bart Starr played his entire career with the Green Bay Packers. And that was your team. Yeah, you might trade for a guy once in a while. Make your team a little bit better. Right? But that's the 60s and 70s version of sports. Oh, and the other part, too, is that the Andretti's always had the better car. it's because, you know, they were able to get a hold of really, really expensive parts from overseas. And Roger Penske didn't win as much.
Right.
That's why the Sioux liked it better. He can't stand Roger Penske.
Yes, he is. He was He was choosing that loudly while he was watching the race when we were at the Phillies game a couple weeks ago, when the race was at the Indy 500 a couple weeks ago.
Well, what's interesting is that a friend of mine works for Roger Penske's dealership in Scottsdale, which is and the Penske Auto Museum is attached to the dealership. So Roger's there a lot, but he usually comes in and works early in the morning. All right. And I said, Henry, you know, I've never met Penske. He said, what's he like? He says, awesome guy, great guy. And I just started laughing. I said, I know a guy, can't stand him because he wins all the time. I said, you know, but he also thinks it's 1959 too. So it's like, I said, don't like that warrior. But now why he hates this. Tony comes on and we talk about money. Now, it's amazing when it comes to digital media, the suit doesn't mind talking about money at all. Okay. Now, his big complaint is other people are making it. So. Okay, but it's a business. So what happens with the CBA? I was talking about Saquon Barkley earlier today with the CBA, and I said, look, his four-year contract's going to run out when the CBA is being renegotiated. All right, well, what's going to be like then? Will you have a franchise tag? Yes? No? What does the Le'Veon Bell contract mean for Saquon Barkley? So we talk about money with Tony all the time. What are the trends in buying? What's really moving up? What's dying? All right? It makes the suit very uncomfortable to talk money, unless he's making it. Which means the whole conversation makes him really uncomfortable. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Matt Catrillo's here today, which is great. Matt always does great work, and I really enjoy working with him.
Same here.
Matt's going to be with us for at least the first portion of the week. For those who may not know, and I don't think Sean minds me saying this, Sean Carey's mother passed away this morning, about 5:30 this morning. And, you know, she'd struggled. Last week was not a good week for her. She's 87 years old. And so Sean is out today and will be probably out the entire week. And he will, he's already been taking care of the arrangements. So our deepest condolences to Sean and Deb, two of the finest people you'd ever want to meet on the planet.
Absolutely.
Cannot say enough good things about my good friend Sean Carey. And so our deepest condolences as Sean's mom passed away this morning at the age of 87.
My condolences as well to Sean and his family.
So Matt will be here helping to enhance the show this week. You're still stuck with me. Next half hour, we go to Shinnecock Hills. Now, I had thought, Matt, about maybe doing the Tuesday show from Shinnecock Hills. And then, you know what? I'm looking at it. It's like 95 minutes past New York City. I'm sitting there going, I don't think I want to do that. So I think from the comfort of my own living room. But we're going to go there. We're going to go there because actually on the chipping and putting green right now is Cole Miller, the former Nittany Lion who qualified for the U.S. Open. He is going to join us to talk about how he qualified and about playing in the 118th U.S. Open.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, whatever your insurance needs may be, they'll make sure you're fully covered. And they'll make sure you're getting it at absolutely the best price. And if there's a claim, they go to work for you immediately as if it happened to them. Why? They're your partner in all this. Great to have an insurance company that cares the way they do. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. I have a great organization, Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This day in sports history, 1938, Johnny Vandermeer of the Cincinnati Reds threw the first of two consecutive no-hitters. Now, when we come back on the show on Friday, which is the 15th, we'll tell you about the second straight no-hitter he threw. 1950, Ben Hogan returned to tournament play after a near-fatal accident. He won the U.S. Open. 1972, Hank Aaron tied the National League record, 14 Grand Slam home runs for a career. 1974, the Kansas City Scouts and the Washington Capitals officially received NHL franchises. Capitals won their first Stanley Cup in 44 years. Meanwhile, the Kansas City Scouts have won 3 Stanley Cups. But not as the Kansas City Scouts. They were moved to Denver to become the Colorado Rockies. And then they were moved to New Jersey, where they are now the New Jersey Devils. 1988, Rick Rodin of the Yankees became the first pitcher to start the game as a designated hitter. 1990, Nolan Ryan, 6th no-hitter of his career, oldest pitcher ever to do that. Then he eventually threw a 7th. Lee Smith, 16th consecutive save in 16 appearances, 1995, a record. The World Cup opened in South Africa this day, 2010, first time it was ever held on the African continent. Rafa Nadal won his record 7th French Open title when he beat Novak Djokovic in 2012. Yesterday, he won his 11th. Wow. All right, that's this day in sports history. All right, off now to Shinnecock Hills. It is the 118th U.S. Open. It'll have a Penn State flavor to it because one of the qualifiers, former Nittany Lion Cole Miller. Cole, congratulations on making the open field, and welcome to the show. Okay, we apologize for any difficulty we had. I mean, sometimes with cell phones out on Long Island, you can hit a bad spot. And so we are going to bring Cole Miller back in. Cole, welcome. It's really great to have you with us. Thanks for the time you're giving us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
5-under-139 at the section qualifier at Woodmont Country Club. Give us an idea of the pressure, because you knew what the stakes were. What was the pressure like trying to get to? Because some pros have told me the qualifier is more pressure than the U.S. Open itself.
Yeah. The qualifiers are a grind. It's a grueling day of golf. It's 36 holes, and you know you have to go low because someone else is going to. And to do that, your game has to be really sharp, and you just have to trust everything that you do out there.
All right, talk about the approach on 18 and about your mom following it.
Yeah, so actually I was a bit fortunate on 18. I kind of pulled a drive, and it was hit really hard, but it was up the left, and there are some trees up there, and it actually hit the cart path and got out there to 100 yards on what is normally a very long hole, like 470. I had about 100 yards left, and it was a perfect yardage for me that week, and I hit a great wedge to about 18 inches and had a tap in birdie at the last. But with my mom out there, I knew I was kind of close because she kept checking her phone. I didn't know where I stood for the longest time, but the way I could tell that I was close is she would check it after every hole and after every shot and just kind of see where I was. So I knew she was nervous, which meant I was right at the top there or very close to it.
Cole, what was it like standing over that 18-inch putt on 18?
It was a bit tense, honestly. It was an 18-inch putt, but it felt like it was about 4 or 5 feet. It really wasn't a tap-in for what it should have been. I made a nice stroke at it, and obviously 18 inches, pretty tough to miss the hole, but it was a great finish to the round, and just gave me the confidence I needed to start my professional career.
Cole, were you able to get around? Tell us a little bit about the McKenzie Tour. You were able to play this past weekend,
yeah.
Right? Tell us a little
yes,
bit about that, and did it just in terms of rhythm keep you in a rhythm you want to be in before you hit Shinnecock?
Absolutely. It kept me in a great rhythm. It was a phenomenal course. It's probably one of the best events they play up there. And so it was my first time kind of traveling on my own for that that style event. And honestly, I played really well, minus the last day, a couple hiccups. I just kind of made some bad decisions, not so much bad execution. So a lot of positives to draw away from that. Overall, pretty solid finish. I finished 23rd, made my first cut as a professional, made a little bit of money. So not a bad day, not a bad week overall.
Have you had an opportunity yet to go out at Shinnecock? Did you get out there this morning? Have you had that chance yet?
I'm actually out here right now.
Okay.
I'm on the chipping green right now.
You're on the chipping green. You're going to go out and play?
I registered, went back to our place that we're staying, took a shower because I caught a red eye. Been up for quite a while now, and thought I'd get out here try and play nine holes.
Who are you going to go out and play?
Practicing a little bit, and... right now, I'm not sure who's in the group. I'm playing with Duffner later this week.
Okay.
But today it might just be a quick nine holes by myself.
Well, at first glance, what do you think of the place?
Oh, it looks amazing. Classic link style for U.S. golf. I was fortunate enough to play the British Am last summer, and it looks exactly like that. It looks a lot like St. George's Prince Golf Club. And the conditions are unbelievable here. So I'm really excited to get out on this course and see what it's got.
There's always something within a game. For example, I was talking in the previous half hour about Mickelson. Mickelson's like second in shots gained on the greens. He's 10th in approach, but he's 131 off the tee. And you and I both know that the rough is not exactly...
It's going to be very, very penal here,
So
it's quite thick out here.
Well, in your game right now, what's been working for you? Has the driver worked well? Have you worked well with irons? What parts of the game feel good to you right now?
Tee to green for me right now has been the best it's been in a long time. My driving feels extremely solid, and I got a driving iron in play here for some of the tighter holes, but some of the longer ones give you some pretty ample space, and I feel really confident with the driver or anything off the tee. And my irons have been extremely sharp. In the last week on the McKenzie Tour, I was averaging like 75% of greens in regulation, so it was a lot of good stuff there. Just need to put some work in on my putter, but these greens are so pure right now that you just get it started on the right line, and you can make quite a few.
What is it like for you to be standing there knowing who else is in the tournament?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, it's an honor to be here. It's an amazing venue. It's an amazing event. And just to surround yourself with the reputation of these guys and what they do means a lot to me as a golfer, and makes me very proud to do what I've done with my golf game. And obviously I want to keep going with it, and this is a good chance to show what I've got.
For you to get to this point, what did Penn State do in the Penn State experience to get to where you are right now?
Oh, Penn State did everything for me. I went from a golfer who was not exactly guaranteed a scholarship into college, and just with help from my coaches and my teammates and everything there, I was able to really take my game to the next level, and I feel really confident being a pro now, and my game feels good enough to compete with just about any of these guys out here, and I owe that all to Penn State.
Who will caddy for you?
So I have my best friends on the bag. He caddied for me at sectionals, and he's been out here for the past 3 days now. Nick Basilio is his name. He's a great guy, and he knows my game inside and out, and he can help me manage a course like this.
What has Nick told you since he's been out there for 3 days? What has he told you?
He's got a ton of notes in his book that I can't read because he has terrible handwriting. But... So it's like it's kind of our own code right now. So I'm just having him decipher it as we go, and he's got a lot of good stuff in there though. So I'm excited to see what he has to show me today as I go play nine holes.
The legendary Ben Hogan, who played back in the 50s and into the 60s, said that when he went to the U.S. Open, he would drive 5 miles under the speed limit going in because it then trained his mind to take everything slower. How do you want to train your mind, and what is the pace mentally that you need, that you feel, to get through the next 4 days, Thursday through Sunday?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a great example of training your mind. And for me to train my mind, I play my best golf when I'm relaxed and just kind of soaking up the experience. And that's what I plan on doing out here, just taking it slow, one shot at a time, walk, enjoy the crowds and the scenery that this place has to offer. And then when it comes time to hit a shot, just focus and grind it out, because it's going to be a battle and scores aren't going to be super low with the conditions you can see here. But there are definitely opportunities. So just make the most of that. And that's the plan as of right now.
Obviously, you know, you're one of 156 in there, so you can win it.
Yeah.
What would it mean at minimum to make the cut?
Yeah, that's been my goal. I kind of discussed that with my family, my agent, and Nick. Obviously, make the cut. That would be huge as my second professional start. Would mean a lot to how I'm progressing as a player, and just keep me on the right track as far as am I hitting my milestones and making this a career.
Obviously, there's pressure every time out. Is there still moments for you to actually soak it in and enjoy it while also understanding you have to go shot by shot?
Well, that's exactly what I love. I love being in contention last six to eight holes, right down the stretch, because that's when you feel it the most, and that's where you really test your game and push yourself to the next level. So to be in a position like that speaks volumes to how you're playing and what you can do. And as long as you can soak up that pressure and just kind of realize what it is, it makes it a whole lot of fun.
You mentioned something earlier about course management the importance of it. I played a little bit of golf with Greg Nye, and that's what he talks to me about all the time, is course management.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how much of that was imparted? You knew some of it going in yourself, but then what he always talked about, course management, how much did he impart to you that really makes a difference?
Oh, so much. He actually used to call me the misguided missile, because I would just haul off and rip a driver when the hole obviously did not call for driver. So we kind of turned my game around and made it smart, aggressive golf, picking the right shots and then playing aggressively to them. And I've taken that, and it's really transformed my game over the past 4 years, and I'm going to keep progressing with that and see what we can do.
On the 15th on the blue course, were you trying to rip driver?
Oh, easily.
Of course you were.
No doubt in my mind.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he'd tell you, hey, look, now, Cole, why don't you just get to 100 and hit a wedge in?
Pretty much. He's like, what do you hit to 100 yards? I'm like, 2-iron. Why don't you do that? Well, because I can get it up there to, like, 60 yards, coach. And then he's like, what does that even mean? So it's just been a transformation of the game and just taking it to the next level.
Well, you're at the next level right now. You're at the U.S. Open. I want to let you get back to work, because this is obviously an area of the game that's going to be absolutely critical to you. Best of luck. Thanks so much for carving out a few minutes for us, and also to your caddy, right? Just a quick note
absolutely.
For him. Like, tell him congrats on being there, but also notes in English help.
I agree. I mean, I'll pass along the note. I'm going to try and get, like, a code here in a second, try and decipher this thing, see what we can get out of it.
Just tell him when Steve Jones does football, his notes are in English. He can read them. All right?
Yeah, all right. I'll let him know. Maybe I'll have him, like, type out the notes. That way he can't mess that up.
Yeah, great. Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate it, Cole. Best of luck. You know everybody here is rooting for you.
Thank you. I really appreciate the support.
That's former Nittany Lion Cole Miller, who qualified for the U.S. Open, joining us from the chipping green at Shinnecock Hills. And we take the show everywhere. We'll take you right out to the course if we have to. which is literally what we did. That's why you heard all the wind in the background. That's where Cole was. Cole was at the chipping green at Shinnecock Hills. Going to go out and play a quick nine holes on a practice round just to get a feel for the place. Then he's going to go out with Jason Duffner later in the week. It's going to be part of his group. Very nice. So the next half hour, we'll talk about the NBA draft with Jeremy Wu. That's a week from Thursday. Tony Carr's right in the thick of that. News today, women's basketball, the ACC Challenge game for the Lady Lions will be at Florida State on November 29th. Now, for men's basketball, the rest of the Cancun Challenge was announced today. Penn State's going to open the season on Friday, November 9th with North Florida in the Jordan Center. They're then going to play Jacksonville State at home on the 12th. That is in the Jordan Center. Then they have the 8:30 game on Wednesday night, the 20th, with Wright State. Excuse me, my apologies. That's on Tuesday, the 20th, with Wright State at 8:30. And then they'll play on Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, the 21st, at either 6 o'clock or 8:30 against either SMU or Bradley. Next half hour, NBA draft with Jeremy Wu from Sports Illustrated. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.